Support for WVIA Pop Shop comes from the F.M. Kirby Center for the Performing Arts in downtown Wilkes-Barre, presenting concerts, comedy, family entertainment, and community events in a historic theater. Information and upcoming events at kirbycenter.org.
So, Patrick, I realized something about myself recently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like sports movies. It's like a movie about a kid. If you tell me it's a movie about a kid or a movie about a dog, I'm immediately sort of, I don't know.
Okay, you lost me at the dog one.
Yeah.
You don't like movies about dogs?
You're a big Benji guy?
Oh, I loved Benji.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who didn't love Benji in the 80s?
Yeah. Anyway, in terms of, do you have a particular sport, film, or TV show that you love more than most?
Well, TV show,
mm-hmm.
Sports Night. Really loved Sports Night. Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
Would also give an honorable mention to Glow.
Yes, we talked about Glow.
Yes.
I thought Glow started strong, ended maybe not quite as strong, but it was good. It was good. So I have one I'll pitch to you that I think you might reject.
Okay.
The Schwarzenegger version of The Running Man.
I've not seen
it. Which is like partly game show,
but
it's like
show.
It's American Gladiator game show, which is kind of a sport. And one of the assassins in it is modeled after an ice hockey player.
Okay. Yeah, so that's treading a line.
Okay. Well, it's treading a line. How about The Big Lebowski?
Oh, I forgot about
Could you
the
do
Lebowski.
Like a bowling movie? Like, does that
Yeah, I didn't even think
get
about
in,
that.
Do you think?
Yeah, I totally forgot about Big Lebowski. But yeah, I'd want to replace my choice with
you're gonna
Big Lebowski.
Go, you're going to go Big, oh, good,
so,
good.
Well, then also, I mean, well, because my serious choice was Bull Durham before I forgot Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
But also, I was going to go with Avengers because it's got archery. Captain America does the discus. Thor does the hammer
kind
throw.
Of a discus, a hammer. He does throw a hammer.
Black Widow does acrobatics. It's gymnastics. You know, it's all very Olympic.
Honestly,
Olympian.
Yeah. If you'll give me mine, I'll give you that.
Okay.
Although, if I were going to pick one actual, well, maybe this isn't actual either. Did you see The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke? Such a good movie.
No.
And I think it's a great movie because it's less about wrestling than it is about a person's struggles.
Okay.
Which usually makes it better.
I also like Challengers. Challengers was another one that I liked.
That's a great one. Actually, so I guess it's time we move on to the main program.
The main program, yes, indeed.
I'm Alan Austin.
And I'm Patrick Hamilton.
Welcome to Pop Shop. Here, stories on the screen inspire conversations about the real world off of it.
And this week, we're talking about the return of Ted Lasso for season 4. Will it score with audiences as well as it once did, or does it fall wide of that goal?
Wow, those are some of the weaker puns you've dropped thus far.
That's
perhaps
hurtful.
Betraying a little loathing of soccer.
Soccer puns are not my natural wheelhouse.
Yeah, it would seem that is true. As always, if you're loving this, and who wouldn't, Patrick, be loving this precise kind of material, please make sure that you like, you subscribe, and you turn on the old notificator.
And WVIA's Pop Shop is supported by the F.M. Kirby Center, and we'll be talking with Neil from there in just a bit about everything they've got coming up.
It's always great to have Neil here, but before he gets here, Patrick, maybe give us a chance to start talking about Ted Lasso.
Yes. So, to sort of set the stage for season 4, it picks up 3 years after the end of season 3 that saw the Lasso-coached AFC Richmond team come in second in the Premier League. Ted is back in Kansas City working as an assistant manager at a grocery store and co-parenting his son Henry with his ex-wife Michelle. But things change when Rebecca, Keeley, and Higgins show up, hoping to convince Ted to come coach their new women's soccer team.
So season 4 is obviously a shift in the story that's being told, but a lot of the regulars are still here. Obviously, Jason Sudeikis returns as Ted Lasso. Hannah Waddingham, who really sort of launched herself to quite a career on this show, returns as Rebecca. Juno Temple is Keeley. If you've not seen the season of Fargo that she's in, you should at some point. It is spectacular television. And finally, to make, I think, Patrick feel a little bit more at home, Brett Goldstein returns as well. I know you're not a big soccer guy, but he is, of course, the MCU's Hercules. And so I felt like he might be an anchor for you.
It's hard to say because he's only appeared in that one.
Fair. You need more Hercules.
I don't need more Hercules, but I fear that might be another example of an MCU post-credit scene that never gets followed up on.
Oh, so it only made you sad to see Hercules.
Didn't make me sad, but also at that point, I hadn't seen any of Ted Lasso, so I had no idea who Brett Goldstein was. So it didn't really resonate with me in the way it may have with others.
The Hercules reveal fell flat.
It did.
I bet we might talk then about whether the show fell a bit flat for you or not, because I don't believe you watched Ted Lasso Well, I have one through three.
I have watched all of season one now. Okay. I did do a quick run through of season one and then watched the premiere of season four. So I've not watched two or three, though I did look at like a couple of online summaries just to kind of get a sense of what went on.
So we were thinking we might start our conversation about Ted Lasso by talking about
Ted Lasso. That seems a bit on the nose, but
the
yes.
character. So when season four was launching, it obviously generated a little bit of social media attention. Mm-hmm. And I read a complaint somewhere. Like somebody wrote, I haven't watched any of Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. Should I start watching season four? And the very first response was absolutely not. The first couple seasons of Ted Lasso were okay, but season four has gone woke and that it should be avoided for that reason.
Okay.
And there are some ways, I think, in which season four is a little more overtly political. Like his mother says she's moving to a retirement community where they don't play Fox. Yeah. There's something else.
Well, there's the Negro Baseball Museum.
The tour of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, which is very, like, it's so didactic. It's almost like a sermon in some ways. An important one, to be sure, of thinking about the way in which different groups of people have been barred from competition throughout history. But earlier seasons, I don't think were that political necessarily. But I would argue that Ted Lasso, and I think this is what appealed to me so much about the show, is it's always been sort of countercultural insofar as Ted practices what I would describe as radical kindness.
Okay.
So that no matter what he's confronted with in life, his response is not what you expect for a person in our times. Mm-hmm. So by radical kindness, I mean he is just sort of naturally inclined to forgive, no matter how badly he's treated. And in season one, he discovers some really terrible things that have been done to him.
Mm-hmm.
He forgives. He wants to learn. And he believes one of the ways you learn is by actually listening to other people.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the guy that's pressing the shirts that knows the game better than you.
Yeah.
So he wants to learn. He wants to listen. He celebrates other people, which is fairly rare in the world. And he doesn't believe in hierarchy so much. Like you go to the people who can help you. And finally, maybe the most overtly woke is there is sort of a different kind of masculinity that the show is selling. So you've met the Diamond Dogs, right?
Yeah.
In season one.
Season one, yes.
Which is a very different kind of masculinity, right? A response perhaps to toxic masculinity where instead of getting angry, like we guys sit around and talk about our feelings.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's too much talking on my part. How do you feel about the idea of Ted's character embodying a radical kindness?
See, that's one of the things going into the show that I knew about Ted Lasso was kind of this kindness that was kind of the overarching theme of his character. And one of the things that I was really struck by in season one was the way in which that sort of persona that Ted projects seemed to me, and you're not going to like this analogy that I'm going to make.
Okay.
It seemed very much like the difference between Bruce Wayne and Batman in that.
Interesting.
Ted, to me, when I was watching season one,
did
not seem very much it didn't seem in a very good mental space.
He's not.
At all. And the kindness seemed to be his overcompensation for that. And there were moments where in season one where I'm like, he seems to be just barely hanging on by his fingernails to things.
Yeah.
And so for me, it read more as particularly in terms of his character, it read as sort of a facade that he projects. And there's moments where Nate shows up at his house late and he kind of chews him out.
Yeah.
And there's a few moments where I felt like we were getting closer to the real Ted there.
Yeah.
And it just felt to me like the kindness was sort of more of a overcompensation or a kind of denial of the very serious issues that he's going through.
So there is, I don't know how much of his trauma you know from childhood.
Yeah, I now know from reading the synopses of season two and three that obviously that's something that show
his
develops.
His kindness undoubtedly develops out of trauma.
And that thus I am brilliant in my diagnosis of him from just seeing season one.
Well,
because clearly season
I think
two
we get a lot of feedback on the show. And by the way, feel free to leave a comment and let us know about your brilliance generally. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right. I don't read that so much as a hiding who he truly is, but as an exploration of how complicated he is. That you can believe in radical kindness and you can try to practice radical kindness, but nobody's perfect at it.
Yeah.
And that you know, I like that you're seeing that complexity in Ted. I think mm-hmm. it makes him more interesting, mm-hmm. that he's a guy who's wrestling with it.
Yeah.
That maybe we all ought to try to practice radical kindness, mm-hmm. even though it's really, really hard to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like when I'm at the Verizon store today, I just get frustrated because I have a simple problem people can't fix. But, and so it's okay for for Ted to come from trauma, and it's okay mm-hmm. for Ted to struggle with anger at times. But his ability, like when he forgives Rebecca, mm-hmm. I don't think that's inauthentic. I don't think he's pretending to be something he isn't.
No, but there's other, I think the moment in, for example, maybe it's just the bad writing, but there's the moment in the big pool, or not the dart scene with Rupert.
Yes.
Where he gives this long speech about being curious and, you know, he says, well, you know, you might have asked me if I ever played darts and things like that.
Yeah.
Rupert actually did ask him prior to the whole thing, you know, oh, are you into darts? And I'm like, he did ask you that. But, and there's a moment where I kind of got a glimpse. There's kind of a meanness in Ted that's there at times.
I don't think that's meanness. I think Rupert is the guy that doesn't.
Well, Rupert is
terrible.
Rupert's
not going to listen.
Yeah.
No matter what.
To Anthony Head.
He plays Rupert.
He does. Brilliant actor.
Quite well. Yeah. You know, like you get how terrible he is. Yeah, I don't think that's meanness. Although it is a way in which Ted will kind of let people, like,
There's just a lot of moments
themselves
where,
into
where,
a corner.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where there's just kind of, I felt like we were getting to another side of Ted in terms of the darkness and the meanness. That to me, his kindness was very much something he's trying to deny and kind of hide from others, but even kind of sort of hide from himself.
I don't know that he hides it from others. He might be struggling to figure out where his kindness comes from. And certainly as you kind of move forward in seasons, he starts doing therapy and he starts coming to grips with some of that.
Yeah.
But to me, I don't think that makes him a mean person. I don't think it makes the kindness a facade. I think it makes the kindness a coping mechanism.
Well, yeah, I would agree with, but also
but that doesn't make the kindness unreal, does it?
It kind of, to me, it seemed like, in season one, that the kindness is kind of all he's got that's keeping him from kind of going off the edge.
So it's helping himself as well?
Yeah,
but is that what you're saying?
It's helping, but not necessarily in a good way.
Yeah. Well, no, I think that one of the things that Ted Lasso series does really well is complicate Ted as a character. And if you're seeing that at the beginning, I think maybe there's something that they want you to see at the beginning. But I still, like doing kindness is kindness, right?
Yeah.
Even if you're thinking something different, like it's the action that matters, not the thought.
I think the motivation behind the action does count a little bit.
Okay.
Just all a right. skosh.
Well, fair enough. I know this is a really important issue. Mm-hmm. Not quite the giggles we were promising, but all good. But we do need to take a break right now so we can get Neil in from the Kirby.
That's right.
And when we come back, then it's all spoilers.
Yes.
And we're very happy to have Neil from the Kirby Center with us again. Welcome, Neil.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Love the show.
Thank you.
So, I'm here to talk about the Kirby Center. I'm here to talk about a seminal film in most of our lives, I think, because we have coming up with part of our classic film series for the month of August. We have the film The Empire Strikes Back. Uh-huh. Are you guys familiar with this film?
I have heard of the film.
It is a large part of my personality.
Really?
Or Star Wars is.
I can see the parts, for sure.
Oh, I'm curious. Mm-hmm. Kara, have you ever seen The Empire Strikes Back?
I have not. And
what? That is... What?
I have a reason. I have a cousin that wants me to watch it so bad that I have not watched any Star Wars just because of him.
Did you say you've watched...
Wow.
No Star Wars?
I've seen Rogue One. I mean, I've seen the series. I've seen the series. I've seen...
The series?
Well, the series. Disney Plus stuff.
I have so many questions. Kara, I would love for you to come and be my guest at the FM Kirby Center to see on the big screen, possibly what most would consider the greatest Star Wars film, The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Except for Rogue One. It's probably true.
It's very close.
Really?
Very close.
Rogue One is my all-time favorite.
I think Rogue One is a fine film, but I don't think it even comes close to The Empire Strikes Back. I'll be honest. I think there's a wide
margin. We might have had our first rift here.
This might be why Patrick was saying we were missing Gene.
No, I know.
I bet Gene's a big fan of Rogue One.
Gene is a much nicer guy, and he's not going to say, but I'm just going to call it as it is. Right down the middle.
It is one of the great Star Wars films. For sure. Even if Kara has never seen it. Kara, I'll pay for your nephew's ticket.
Yeah. I think we got to get... There it is. I think we got to get everybody down here. What are you doing? You going to come on down, buddy? Yeah.
All right.
We're going to our intern off camera right over
That's
here.
Right. We're building a huge crowd.
Oh, yes. There's a groundswell of excitement.
That's right. Yeah. Wow.
It's going to be absolutely amazing. But the thing is, imagine, though, it's just like you kind of remember being, but also the Kirby screen is so big. It's much bigger than the average screen size you get to see it on. Plus, we have a brand new projector that was brought in there by the Luzerne Foundation. And we have a phenomenal sound system, the same sound system you're going to hear all these amazing bands on throughout the year. You're hearing the Battle of Hoth on top of. You're going up to Cloud City on. It's going to be absolutely amazing.
But you're kind of bearing the lead, and that's the popcorn, right?
Oh.
Because you have waxed rhapsodic before, and I went to a different theater a couple of weeks ago, and the popcorn was not very good.
Oh, no.
So it made me think of you.
Oh, well, I had the Kirby popcorn a couple weeks ago. It was excellent.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you right now, we try not to brag about it, but the truth is the Kirby popcorn will hold up against anybody. It might be the Empire Strikes Back of popcorn.
Or the real one.
You're not trying very hard not to brag about it, how it turns out when you say it.
But it is, what's it called, absolutely phenomenal. You can get that whenever you come to the FM Kirby Center for shows and events. You can find out more information about all that fun stuff at kirbycenter.org.
Excellent. We'll see y'all there. And welcome back.
Yes, and thanks again to Neil for stopping by and telling us about all that's going on at the FM Kirby Center.
Oh, it's great to hear and learn, Ted Lasso, I think, would say.
Yes.
So, for me, as we move to the spoiler-filled part of the show, I was disappointed in the first episode of season 4.
Mm-hmm.
It fell flat to me.
Yes.
It didn't feel like peak Ted Lasso. And I think they fell into a classic 80s sitcom problem.
Okay.
And that's taking the show on the road.
Oh, this is, that's
this is like this is very much
like
a show that's about
like the ABC family or the ABC show always going to Disneyland at some point.
Exactly. And this it's always a mistake in a sitcom to leave the set and go on location somewhere. So as soon as like Ted's the fish out of water typically in this show, right?
Yes.
He doesn't know football, he doesn't know England, he's a countercultural kind of personality. Mm-hmm. But here they try to do it with the English folks, bring them
the
to America and flip it. And it felt to me like The Facts of Life goes to Paris or Family Ties go to London, both of which immediately popped into my head. Because if you watch a sitcom like that in the 80s, Nat and Tootie are going to go to, like, the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, yes.
And Joe and Blair are going to go eat croissant while they wear, like, berets and romance mimes or whatever, right? And, like, none of it's going to...
Do they actually romance mimes?
I don't remember. Okay. But my guess is, if we're thinking about the 80s... sitcoms
are
in
you
France.
Are
there's
you
probably a mime involved.
Level understanding of France
that's
in there.
And when the Keatons go to London, Alex goes to Oxford, and they see Big Ben and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And so, if you were a Parisian or a Londoner in the 1980s, and you saw that, you'd be like, "Those Americans don't understand me at all."
Okay,
right? And you get these really superficial, almost caricatures of other societies and cultures. And I think that's kind of what Ted Lasso ends up doing a little bit here.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, barbecue.
Yeah.
Like, as if barbecue becomes, like, this defining characteristic.
Yeah.
In a really, like, in a way that captures something that's true about America, but misses a lot that's true about Americans.
Yeah. Well, so on the issue of it falling flat, it fell a little bit flat for me as well, but for a different reason, in that this episode felt a lot like the stuff we have to get out of the way so that season 4 can actually begin.
This is one of your pet peeves in pop culture.
This kind of felt like episode 0 more than episode 1 because we know, we know the season is going to happen. And so we know from the very beginning when they show up to offer him the job, by the end of the episode, he's going to take it.
Right.
And so there is kind of a sense of going through the motions and we know where this is going to end. But also, it doesn't really feel like the show is getting going just yet. And that's why I think we get scenes like Higgins at the Negro Baseball League's museum, because there's not a, you know, the show hasn't really started yet.
Right. Well, they want to do something with it, right? Mm-hmm. This is a really important pivot in the show. The first three seasons were about the men's team. And now they're going to shift to tell the story about the women's team.
Yes.
And so the museum's there, again, like I mentioned earlier, to get us thinking about marginalized groups and the way in which they're not historically, they've not historically been granted full access to society. So there's a reason for it being there, but I said it seemed kind of preachy. I think in some ways it's so there to kind of set the stage in that way, to make us sure, to make sure that we all understand how important politically it is that they went to the KC Current Stadium and they celebrated that team. Yeah. Really cool. But what's it actually accomplishing in terms of the narrative of the show?
Yeah.
I see your point.
Well, yeah. And I think the other, so if I'm going to give the show a little bit more credit.
Yeah.
In terms of the inclusion of the Negro League Museum. Because one of the things that I find that, obviously there's sort of a ham-fisted attempt to maybe kind of equate what's going on with women's soccer to that. But it was interesting to me how that moment paired with at the beginning when Henry, his son, is getting in trouble for the Public Enemy lyrics that he's written down and that the teacher doesn't realize are Public Enemy, and so they're worried about Henry.
Right.
And it seemed, because there's one way to look at it, which is the idea that, oh, they're trying to kind of equate what's going on with women's soccer with what's gone historically with blacks in sports. I think it can also be read with those two moments together as an acknowledgement that there are marginalized groups that have suffered even more.
Sure.
Historically.
Sure.
That aren't recognized as much by American culture.
And that it always reminds me of the early episode of The Office where they do Diversity Day.
Yeah.
And Michael talks about what he calls the Olympics of Suffering when he has an African-American and a Jewish-American talking to each other. And we have... like this tendency to want to rank atrocity or like determine what's worse. And sometimes it's like, instead of like trying to grade who suffered the most, acknowledging a shared sense of solidarity in suffering is a more powerful way forward, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I think for people who are looking for, and I hate to say this because I heard from Ed recently who listens a lot.
Yes.
About how woke the conversation has become. It's why the woke police have really, I think, focused on this episode in particular.
Yeah.
Because it's one of, I think Ted Lasso is often political in what it's doing. It's not usually quite as overt.
No. Based on season one, the messaging it's doing, right? Though there's some moments, like with Sam and like when Ted gives him the toy soldier and he says he doesn't have the same relationship with the U.S. military that Ted does.
Yeah.
I know in a later season, I think in season two, he kind of doesn't want to wear the Dubai Air logo because of the history there as well. So there were some moments, but I think maybe they felt more integrated into the series than these moments do.
And honestly, most Americans know so little African history that it would go over their heads anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Like the kinds of references that are being made probably don't land as overtly political references because I think Americans don't think much about the continent.
The other thing I found really interesting is the ways, as you kind of alluded to earlier, is the kind of ways in which what this first episode does kind of flips that America is kind of the mirror image of England.
Right.
You know, that instead of Ted being the fish out of the water, it's the English characters that are the fish out of the water. It was interesting in the ways in which that women's soccer is depicted much more prominently in America and yet seems to be struggling even more than struggling in England.
Yeah.
You know, that you know, we learn of one team that's basically shutting down because they can't afford to run. And so there were a lot of ways that kind of America, I think, was meant to kind of function as sort of a mirror image of the England that we've seen before.
Right. Although women's soccer is starting to thrive in England and Europe.
That was going to be one of my questions to ask you, is like how accurate
It is a much more daunting financial proposition, but the big teams are doing quite well there too. One of my favorite episodes, I think it's season two, is the Christmas episode. Did you see that one?
No.
Where Higgins invites all of these guys who are like
the synopsis of it,
from
though.
All around the world, right?
And that don't have a place to go.
Don't have nowhere to go, and they all show up. And it reminded me. So for 4 years, my family and I, like, we lived in a dorm that was an international boarding school dorm. Surrounded by like boys from all over the world, and they would hang out in our kitchen.
I remember this. Yes.
In the evening, and it just captured that spirit so well. And I think, like, in part, Ted Lasso was trying to say, if we want to overcome the problems that we're talking about here, we have to get to know each other.
Yeah.
But I think the problems in this episode are a reminder how hard it is to actually get to know somebody.
Yeah.
Like, for 100 years, activists in this country have been saying, if we want to fix racism, if we want to build a multicultural, inclusive, egalitarian society, we have to get to know people.
Yeah.
And I think that seems sort of self-evidently true.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you actually go about doing that?
Yeah.
And can a show like Ted Lasso mm-hmm. get us to where we need to be.
Yeah.
Like, is, you know, Tootie and Natalie and, mm-hmm. and Paris really going to fix
yeah.
that cultural divide?
Yeah. Well, and I think another issue with this episode, too, based on things that I've read in synopses, is the idea of Ted and bringing his family to England, as I understand it, came up before in previous seasons.
It did.
That Rebecca actually had, like, worked out a whole plan of, like, how they could bring the family over and stuff like that. And Ted said no. And yet we're kind of now doing that same thing in this episode. It felt kind of weird that we couldn't do this before and, like, he had to come back to America to raise his son.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of... So there's some, like, narrative manipulations happening that kind of feel a little bit wonky.
So my daughter Hope would tell you that she thought the third season lost the plot a little bit. And sometimes it's better to end a show when a show should be ended. And now as they're relaunching, I think they're struggling with precisely what you're talking about. Like, that we told a story that sort of found a point of completion, and now we have to
kind of
to restart it. And that's a complicated thing.
Yeah.
But you know what's never complicated?
Ooh.
Boiling down any object or artifact of pop culture into a simple yay or nay.
Yes.
A pop or a shop.
Yes.
In the parlance of this show.
Indeed.
Yeah. This is always, I think, Kara's favorite part. We haven't seen Kara, I don't think, all episode.
No, she's been very quiet.
Kara, maybe while I was coughing, could you just shift the camera to you for that entire sequence?
Not to me, but I will add something there for sure.
Sorry for the snort, Dale. It's not been my best day on the mic. I will acknowledge it. So, Kara, I don't remember who's supposed to go first here.
Oh, we should start with Kara. Did you watch season 4, episode 1, Kara?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
Ted Lasso is one of my favorite shows.
So. All right.
Yeah. I'm going to pop it, of course.
Yeah.
With a plus.
I say that. I was, okay.
Oh, I thought it was popped.
I was going to
ask. For a minute, like it was a...
No, that's a plus.
So it's a pop plus. So did you share any of our concerns about the first episode being maybe not quite as good as some previous stuff, or did you just fall in love?
Gave it a pop plus.
that is true.
I thought you were talking about Ted Lasso generally. Sorry.
Well, in general,
yeah,
it's definitely a pop. But I actually enjoyed the first episode of season 4. I understand your concerns, both of your concerns about how it feels like it's not going in a direction that it could be going in, or that the story could have ended. But I think for what they have, I think they did a good job on bringing... I mean, even the beginning of the episode, when you see Ted Lasso teaching a lesson without revealing that it's a lesson. I mean, that's Ted Lasso all... You know, it just started off very strong for me.
So I would just say, for me, like if this is the first episode you watched, Ted Lasso deserves more time, for sure, because the body of work is really good. Are you next, Patrick? Looks like you're sure, chomping at the bit.
I'm ready. Okay. So,
I saw that you were adjusting your... Wait, yes, did you just...
I'm doing a push.
A push? Whoa.
Yeah, this particular episode. Originally, I just had the line drawn, but I didn't know if that was clear enough.
Are you just going to give it a negative?
I mean, no, it's just a push.
It looks like a minus if it's just a line.
No, it's just a push. It's I don't feel... Maybe it's because I watched season 1 of episode 4 after finishing season 1. It just doesn't really feel like season 4 has started yet to me. And it feels like we're going to, like, the rest of what's coming is what is actually season 4. And this is like a kind of a prologue.
You really hate soccer, don't you?
I don't hate soccer. What I really like about this show is that it taught me that apparently you can coach soccer and not know anything about the actual game, apparently.
But you have to know a lot about people.
Yeah, but that's still not the same as knowing anything about soccer.
That's
soccer
true.
Does not require actual knowledge.
Now, you've demonstrated that on a number of occasions.
Okay, so I'm a push.
Mine also has a line in it.
Mm.
I'm giving it a pop over a question mark because I think Ted Lasso is brilliant. I think it is a countercultural show that speaks to me in really profound ways, and not because it's... I think so much of it is not about soccer, but about being the kinds of people we can choose to be or not choose to be. The question mark is, I don't think it was a strong launch for season 4. I expect that it will get better, but I just wanted to be fair to what we were actually talking about today, which I didn't think was the best episode of Ted Lasso.
I'm also just worried that how different can it be from what we've seen in the previous seasons in terms of Ted has previously had to build a soccer team. He's now building a soccer team again.
This,
like, how are they going to differentiate it? I mean, I'm just concerned about how much of how much of this episode feeling like it's going through the motions is going to kind of end up feeling like the rest
of the
season.
It is the problem with
sequels in America. Hopefully they can find a new angle on it, but we'll see.
That's the problem with sequels in America, right? Mm-hmm. Is that it's the James Gunnification of stuff.
Like, well, some sequels.
Once you land it.
Some sequels. There are some franchises that have really mastered the art of sequence.
One can only imagine what franchises imagine what you are referencing.
Well, there's
this
so
point.
Many.
Right.
Really.
Exactly.
Question for you, Patrick.
Yes.
I know you had to watch this series for this show, but beyond that, do you like the show?
I did enjoy season one. The first couple episodes, I felt the character, particularly Ted's character, was a bit too much of a caricature. Mm. It seemed somewhere around episodes 3, 4, and 5 where it seemed to finally have him and the other characters felt more like real people.
As a rule, when we're consuming pop culture, especially sitcoms, you should always give a show at least 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah.
It always takes a while for a show to kind of figure out who it is and what it wants to accomplish.
Yeah, it took a while to figure out, like, how do we do Ted in a way that he doesn't sort of come off as kind of a cartoon?
Well, Ted was created as a pitchman for NBC taking on the Premier League, right? Like, there was not much there to work with, I think.
Yeah, so it took a little while for me to feel like he's a real person. But but eventually it got there, and I really did. Yeah. I really enjoyed season one.
Excellent.
Yep. So thank you for joining us this week and listening to us talk about Ted Lasso and so many other things.
Yeah.
And if you like what you heard, be sure and like the episode, turn on notifications so you never miss an episode, and subscribe.
Yeah, and thank you once again, obviously, to the FM Kirby Center for its continued support.
Yes, and next week we will be turning to the sci-fi film The End of Oak Street, another film produced by J.J. Abrams. Featuring a family trying to survive when they and their neighborhood are transplanted to where dinosaurs roam, apparently.
So the usual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Normal Tuesday.
Of course, yeah. Come join the party.
Support for WVIA Pop Shop comes from the FM Kirby Center for the Performing Arts in downtown Wilkes-Barre, presenting concerts, comedy, family entertainment, and community events in a historic theater. Information and upcoming events at kirbycenter.org.